I'm John Bond. Welcome to Move Yourself Happy. Made for fitness enthusiasts who want to make their passion their profession. Are you unhappy in your present job? Are you passionate about health and fitness? Do you want to release your true potential? If the answer is yes, this podcast is for you. I will be teaching you the specific knowledge that every trainer and coach needs to be successful. So listen closely as I share my expertise with you. So just like me, you can love what you do. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Kathy.
My pleasure.
Good to see you. I see you a lot anyway.
Yes.
Walking past.
It's very handy. I didn't have far to come.
I know. Very good. Bit wet though.
Yes.
And you had to jump over a puddle to get in our back door.
Yeah,
so.
But on that note, actually, when it's wet, you know, people go, oh God, it's raining, it's awful, you can't do this, can't do that. Actually, I think if you've got the right gear, you know, so I invested in, you know, waterproof and trousers and things. And
yep.
So it doesn't stop me at all. And
yeah,
now
absolutely.
I just say to myself, it's just water.
Yeah.
So you can get out in it.
Yeah, I think it's the Norwegians, isn't it, that say there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothes.
Oh, right, probably.
Which I do kind of agree with.
Yeah.
Right, so well, what I want to chat to you today about is obviously your qualified level 3 personal trainer.
Yes.
Did your training with us, Storm Fitness Academy.
That's right, I did. I really enjoyed it.
Great, yeah. Thank you. Good to get that feedback.
Yes.
But before you became qualified as a personal trainer, like, I know you're obviously a fitness enthusiast, like
people
are when they become trainers.
Yeah.
But you also work as a therapist and have done quite a few years, haven't you?
Yes, I have, for 15 years, actually.
In fact,
I was a teacher for 37 years and now I've been a counsellor for 15 and wanted to train as the personal trainer because I love training and learning. And I knew that would be quite a step, you know, a difficult step for me because learning about the body and muscles and so on was quite hard for me. But I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
And now I do my exercise with knowledge rather than before. I just followed other people.
Right. So. God, there's so many things I'd like to say about that, talk about that.
Okay.
And there's so many different directions we can go with it. So if we go back to first, obviously, as a therapist, is that what you would call yourself? Is it a counsellor?
That's a good question because now the BACP, who I'm a member of, they brought out a new sort of ethical standards and they're trying to show people, members of the public and people who want to be clients, what a psychotherapist is, what a therapist is, what a counsellor is. And to be quite honest, it's still quite muddled in that. So I call myself a counsellor, but I am qualified as a psychotherapist. So it just means you've done psychology as a degree.
Okay. So it would therapy be like the umbrella term?
Yeah.
And then the subcategories, you've got counselling, which is like talking therapy.
Yeah.
And then you've got things like cognitive behavioural therapy.
Yes.
Which
Gestalt. There's all sorts.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Brilliant. And your thing that you focus on mainly.
Mine is mainly talking therapy.
It's talking therapy.
Yes.
Brilliant.
But I did an integrative course so I can use CBT and Gestalt and TA. Have you heard to transactional analysis?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really useful.
Okay.
So, yes.
So to you as a the umbrella term therapist.
Yes.
The CBT, the counselling, the TA, is that a little bit like as a personal trainer, you've got your PT bag and in there you've got like a suspension trainer, you've got your training
sort
systems,
of,
training methods. They're different things you can use.
To get to the same point, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, obviously, we've talked before about the benefits of exercise for mental health.
Mm.
I just want to know your views on it, really, and your own personal experience, and then maybe if that's something you've seen evidence in other people as well.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, I was brought up by people who thought exercise was just playing in the garden and school PE.
Mm.
And so I came to what I call proper exercise later on in life, in my 20s and 30s, when I started running. And I loved it. And I just felt the freedom of it and the benefits body-wise and just mentally as well. So everything came together in that running.
Yeah.
And my husband and I used to run together, even though we were different speeds. We just did it together and enjoyed doing it. then we started cycling to work, and we thought, oh, this is good. You know, it makes you feel good and you're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we learnt to drive. So that sort of stops that quite so much. But we still exercise every day. And, you know, I taught PE at school, so I would help the children realise that exercise was really important. We'd run around the playground before school and they'd say, wow, this, I feel good about this. You know, and it sort of helped them to start the day well. And that always inevitably leads on to healthy eating, sleeping, and all the other things that we know holistically work. So now I walk every day because I've got dogs. But even if the dogs don't want to go out or it's wet, I still walk. And I noticed last week I went to Bristol for a week and we walked. We did about 15 miles a day just walking around Bristol. And I felt so fantastic all the time. I didn't have any down times or, you know, feeling ill or anything. I just felt amazing. And I didn't put on any weight, probably the first time on a holiday ever, because I was always exercising.
Yeah.
Just on the go.
You can clock up steps on a holiday.
Yeah.
Sort of mooching around.
Yeah.
Like crazy numbers of steps that if you went outside and you said, right, I'm going to cover 10,000 steps.
Yes.
It would feel more of a chore doing it that way than just kind of mooching around when you're out and about.
And I know that you need to do it faster for better benefits, really, in some ways. But even just mooching around helps, doesn't it? Because it's keeping your muscles going, your whole body working really well.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of walking. Yeah. You know, you see me around quite a bit. My backpack on.
Yeah. Well, I try and walk everywhere if I possibly can and leave the car at home. Obviously, there are times you can't, but, you know, I've got a friend who lives in Broadwater and I always walk to her and walk home, you know, and anywhere, literally, if I want to go to the hairdressers, I walk or have my nails done, I walk.
It's such a good habit, isn't it? Such a good habit to get into. It's a shame more people don't. I mean, hopefully more people will start to adopt that as a habit.
I think people think it's too time consuming.
It is time consuming, but I factor that in.
Yes,
you know, exactly. I just think, well, you know, like I've got to be in, I'm going to Storrington tomorrow. I'm teaching a workshop at Changtonbury Leisure Centre.
Oh, okay.
And I sold my car. We had that conversation.
That's
didn't we?
Right, we did.
Got it in my car. And so it forces me to walk everywhere. Yeah. And I looked on the phone this morning and it's 6.1 miles away or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fine, I'll walk that. I'll just leave enough time. And it's about an hour and 45 minutes probably walking.
Yes.
But actually, if you go across the Downs, it's only about 4 miles.
Yeah.
So even then, it's even shorter.
Are you going to go across the Downs?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Yeah, I think I will. Hopefully, I won't get lost. Slightly anxious about that, but no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. So obviously, I factor that in time-wise. Yeah. But other people will go to the gym for 90 minutes,
exactly.
But they might have a 30-minute commute to get there.
Yes.
And then they've got to get, they obviously shower and everything else. Yeah. So when you factor it in, it's the same, isn't it? But obviously
I walk to Worthing quite regularly and then back again. And so I meet a friend there, have a coffee and then walk home. And I love it because you see things that you don't normally see. I speak to people. I just say hello and so on. And that helps you connect with the world and other people. And when you get back, you feel great because you know you have done all that exercise.
Yeah.
And so you're not worried about eating your lunch or, you know, your meal in the evening or whatever. It's just really
definitely.
Good.
I can see this evolving into a walking podcast because the last one I did, I was talking about walking.
Yeah.
I talk about walking all the time. So when you get that kind of, I suppose it's a buzz, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just something, it's just a feel-good feeling, isn't it? Do you think the feel-good feeling is literally just the happy hormones that are buzzing through your body? Do you think it's more like a cognitive thing where you're feeling proud? Or how would you sort of describe it?
Probably a combination. I mean, I'm really a believer in being out in nature. That's one major thing for me, because I think if everyone connects with nature, they feel they're part of this world. So that's that connection, because we're all desperate for connection with other people. Even those people who are loners, you know, like a bit of connection. But I really love being out in nature, seeing the wonderful things that we've got on this earth that you can enjoy, that you don't have to buy.
Yeah.
You know, it's something there already. It's free. You can do it when you want. You know, you can look out of the window and think, oh, it's dry. I'll go for a quick walk or, you know, go outside. So I think it helped for me. It helps me with my mental health, you know, because I do have down days. I have done for years. And sometimes you wake up and you think, I'm not sure. I don't feel quite so great or as happy. I know if I go for a walk, I go outside into the garden, I am going to feel better. So that's, you know, why wouldn't you do it, really? So it helps my mental health, helps my physical health. And I think it also makes me think, why waste the benefits of that by stuffing your face with things that aren't healthy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I still eat things that we know aren't that healthy, but mostly I like to have a healthy diet.
Mm.
And I don't want to ruin the benefits of everything else by eating an unhealthy diet. So that's my view of it.
Mm. That's quite common, I think, as personal trainers. You find they call it like the snowball effect,
yeah.
where, you know, you're doing well with the exercise, yes. and it's like, oh, what else can I do?
Right.
I think I'll get rid of the cigarettes.
Yeah, and, exactly.
I'll start eating better and all that stuff. So
and
definitely.
Also, it helps you sleep better.
Yeah.
So it's a real benefit in every way. Because if you can wear yourself out walking or outside and running and doing exercise, then you'll go to bed earlier and sleep better, I think.
Definitely. I always think, like, we're not dissimilar to, well, young children and dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, if you don't want your dog to be a nuisance in the evening, you've got to make sure it goes for a good walk
Absolutely.
In the daytime. And then they're there snoring away, you know, on the floor.
Yeah.
And the kids are the same. I know my kids are.
But well, if you look at children,
exercise.
Yeah, if I spent yesterday with my grandson, who is 1 year and 2 months, and he is on the go the whole time from when he wakes up to when he goes to bed.
Mm.
I might have a quick snooze in the afternoon or something, but he's literally on the go doing something. And it makes me on the go all the time. And I do more, burn up more calories on a Tuesday than any other day of the week because I'm with him.
Brilliant.
And when I'm lifting him up and down, you know, it's like weights.
Yeah.
And I do my squats and lift him up and down. He loves it. So it's a great.
You ever attempted for your personal training sessions just to get them to look after your grandkids?
Yeah, I could do,
They pay you to look after your grandkids.
Yeah.
That could be part of the program.
Yeah.
So with the you mentioned about having down days, do you think, because I don't know anyone that doesn't have down days, like, because life isn't just,
you're right,
life's not just one big high, is it?
No.
And it's not one big low either. It's,
no.
You know, it's just, is it Ronan Keating, Life's a Roller Coaster?
Oh, yes.
But he's correct, isn't he? It's up and down, up and down. And there's, like, I used to think, I know when I went for a tough time a while back, that when I had down days, I'd always try and think about why. And, like, sometimes there is a reason, isn't there, that we're feeling sad.
Yeah.
But then other days, you just can't figure out why. And I don't know if this is, you might be able to correct me if this is they say men are fixers, aren't they? They're trying to fix stuff instead of just letting things be.
Mm.
So I'd always been trying to wrap my brains. Why am I feeling down? I need
find
to fix
the reason
this.
And try and fix it. Yes.
But sometimes, in my experience, there just isn't, or certainly haven't found out what it is.
No.
So then you just sort of kind of manage those days. But do you think that is typical across everybody?
What, male and female?
Yeah. I suppose do both men and women. Is it just part of life having down days, without a reason? I suppose, do you find that men are a bit more obsessive about trying to fix it?
Well, yes, in that one, I do find most men, I mean, this is a generalisation, that most men want to fix it until they realise that it's not necessary.
Mm.
But we're, us women, I don't think are as good at saying, look, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, but I don't need you to fix it. Because actually, I don't think we do need someone else to fix it. And if left to ourselves, we can fix it ourselves eventually.
Yeah.
But we just want someone to listen and support.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing.
That's a good message.
I think mental illness can come from all sorts of things. It can be hereditary. It can come from a trauma. Or I think we have to distinguish the down days and depression and real traumatic times in our lives. Because as you say, we all have down days. And I believe we have them so that we know when we're happy, we know happiness. You know, it's a comparison, isn't it?
Mm.
So, because if you are happy all the time, I think you'd be bored, to be honest. I think the ups and downs are
I think
necessary.
They've done this on poor old rats. They do everything on rats, don't they? But they did this on rats where they inject them with I don't know how, but they inject them with dopamine or they something that keeps their dopamine levels high and they stop eating.
Yeah.
And they actually, they'll starve and die.
Exactly.
Because obviously feeling low triggers action. Yeah. So there is a reason for feeling low a lot of the time. Because it gets you to do things. So, no, you wouldn't want to be on cloud nine
and
all the
feeling
time.
Feeling high all the time and happy, happy, happy is wearing as well. It takes a lot of energy and it could wear you out.
Oh, yeah. If you ever have a friend over and, you know, it's a really good evening, we have a proper giggle.
Yeah.
The next day, like your face and your tummy from laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I absolutely love that. But, yeah, you can feel a bit worn out by it. So
And I think also, I think life is going to have situations in it which are going to make you feel down. You know, people dying isn't a fun thing, is it? So you can't be high, happy, happy when that's happening, or if you are ill or something else happens. You know, that's a normal part of life. So I think it's a good idea for us to learn how to be a bit more robust and work through those activities or events in life.
Yeah.
So that's my main aim in my work, is to do that, to help people to become more robust and say, okay, it's not pleasant, but I can manage it.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That's so I always think of the word resilience.
Resilience is a good one, yes.
I teach, because I bumped into you recently, and I think we were talking about it, but I teach at Worthing College two days a week on the foundation degree there, teaching sports science.
Yes.
Which I love. You know, I still love talking about sports science stuff. Mm. And we've got down the wall, we've got this big word written in the classroom, in my classroom, says resilience.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested by that word. And I always think, like, I want one of the best gifts I could give them, although I'm not sure you can give it to somebody, but one of the best things I could teach them is resilience.
Mm.
So I have done a bit of reading into how to teach that to others. It's not that easy, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean, that's linked to self-esteem, isn't it, and self-worth, and that's not easy at all. But you have to sort of do it little by little, helping the client recognise, or the person recognise, their strengths and their weaknesses, so that they, if they want to change that, they can do and develop, and to see that that's okay, because we're human beings, and human beings have, you know, strengths, weaknesses. They have all the emotions, and that's okay. And so it's saying to people, you're okay as you are, but you can develop certain sides to you if you want to, and change other things that you don't like about yourself. And it's not just, you're not static, you're growing all the time.
Yeah, because I suppose if you come to like a barrier in your life, you've got a couple of options, haven't you? You can work out to get around that barrier.
Yeah.
Or you can accept the barrier, I suppose.
Yes.
And maybe that's what young people struggle with, is understanding, right, is this something I need to figure out?
Yes.
Or is it something I just accept and move on? Or just freeze, you know,
fight or flight, freeze,
you know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that a lot of them do struggle with. Well, not just young people, but I should imagine older people as well do struggle with that.
Yeah, and I think it's also saying it's okay which of those you do, the fight, flight or freeze, but you need to understand it, so that you're aware of that's your reaction to something that happens, and then deal with that. How can I, you know, make the best of that and change it or deal with things differently? So.
And so linking that to exercise, do you have you found, again, that word resilience, that definitely, I think, comes up with exercise?
Oh, absolutely.
Even to the point where you mentioned earlier about if it's not very nice weather out there, I know that exercise is going to still be good for me, so I just put on the clothes that are going to be suitable, and I just get out there.
I think I battle daily with doing enough exercise, and I may be hard on myself, but I think it's good in a way, because it keeps me doing it. And I say to people, nobody regrets continuing.
No.
Everyone regrets giving up something in the end, unless it's smoking or something.
Yeah.
You know. But if you give up exercise, you will at some stage regret it, because your body won't be the same as you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I've never met anyone that's ever said, I tried exercise and I gave it up and I feel better for that.
No,
I feel better for not exercising. I've never met anyone.
No.
Like, there might be someone listening that thinks, well, actually, yeah, that's my dad or whatever. But I think if you actually spoke to them and got to the nitty gritty of it, that wouldn't be the case, would it? It would be that they didn't like that type of exercise, exactly. And the stress of doing that type of exercise wasn't worth it for them. But there'll be something that floats their boat, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing. You've got to find what you enjoy doing, and then you'll stick to it.
Yeah, because I bleat on about walking a lot, and because for me it just it ticks so many boxes.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
it really
does. And you know, and I think it's not just for you. It's also great for the planet.
Yeah.
It keeps cars off the road because the roads are so busy. And you know, think about the harm that the car exhausts are doing, but also just the car accidents you know, people trying to cross roads and stuff. There's so much good it does by opting to walk instead.
Yeah. And what you were saying earlier about you just factor in how long it will take. And I think people have forgotten how to do that. So in the car, they're, oh, God, it's 5 minutes to where I want to go and I'll get in the car now. And actually they may have needed longer.
Yeah.
And that's why people are driving so manically and getting cross with each other. Whereas walking,
held up, do you?
No. You say to yourself, right, this is going to take me roughly an hour and a half. So I'll give that time to it.
Yeah, that's true. I've never looked at it like that. You're right. You know exactly how long it's going to take you to get somewhere, especially now with Google Maps.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It tells you.
Yeah.
And I've found as well that what Google Maps estimates, you know, the walking pace is quite a reserved walking pace.
Yes, so I agree. I think
you'll
so.
Always, well, you'll typically do it quicker than what Google Maps suggests. Mm. And then you can start using that as a little bit of incentive, can't you? I've got to try and beat the time that Google Maps has.
Yeah, true. Yeah, well, I'm a bit like that with my Fitbit. I'm always thinking, right, I need to do better on this and so on. And
yeah.
It's quite good. I enjoy it anyway, but as long as you're not a slave to it.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's like anything. You can have, like that old expression, you can have too much of a good thing.
Yes.
I think that's the same with these wearables, technology. Like, they are great. Like, I love all that. Mm. I love data.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the sports scientist in me or whatever, because my 3 years degree was all about data, you know. And when I had my spell working at the Albion, it was like, you know, downloading all the heart rate data and analysing it. And so... But I know that it tells a story, and that's what you use for measuring everything.
It's
and then
whichever way
it
speaks
everything.
To you, really, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So I do like that data, but you know, I wonder if that's the controlling part of, like we said about men trying to fix stuff. I need the data because I need to know what's going on.
Maybe, I don't know, really.
Sorry, this is turning into therapy for me now, isn't it?
Yes.
That's not why I got you here.
I want to go back to something you said about resilience, and I don't know if you said happiness, but... Somebody once said to me, oh, I came to you to find my happiness. And actually, I found it. And I was, thinking, I'm clever. And he went, but it's within me. That's where it is. And I think that's the truth of it. We've got the happiness inside us and the resilience if we choose to develop it and use it.
Yeah, like unlock it. Kind
somebody
of thing.
That can't give it to you. They can help support you to gain it and to recognise it.
That's right, because I said I'm not sure you can give it
That's
to the
right.
students,
yes, did, yeah.
but so you're saying you could almost like unlock it from within us, and that's what your client experienced.
Yeah,
yeah, that's nice. So how do you think you go about doing that? I mean, obviously we talked about exercise, so you know that can be almost like a catalyst, I suppose, for that.
Yeah, yes, I think you've got to find one person's inroad into it. You know, one is exercise, one might be healthy eating. One might be writing down their views or thoughts in a journal or something. There's loads of ways of doing it, and you've just got to help that person find the one thing that will help them to get into it.
Mm.
And then it snowballs from that, really, and they realise that... I mean, I'm a great believer in holistic help, so I don't just go down one route. You know, so in therapy, I don't just go down the route of talking about your childhood. We talk about sleep, food... exercise and everything holistically.
Mm. Yeah, because you can't, there's not one thing, is there?
I don't think so.
Like for anything, actually.
No.
But I mean, certainly with things like living a happy life, someone says, you know, what's the one thing you can do to live a happy life? It's like, there isn't one thing,
no.
you know.
No.
Because you could do that one thing and then go, I'm still feeling unhappy. And that's because you've got all these other areas that
are. Well, you and I know that we can exercise every day a long time, but unless we eat healthily, it's not going to work. People say, I do loads of exercise, but I've still put on weight. And you think, yes, because the food side of it isn't being attended to.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sounding perfect now because I'm not.
No, but I guess as fitness enthusiasts that have now become fitness professionals, we've got a better understanding of it, maybe, or we certainly have a better understanding of it because we've had the training and the qualifications.
Definitely.
But we've also learned to prioritize it, and there's the buy-in there for us. Like we've seen it, we've experienced it ourselves. Like when we prioritize health and exercise in our lives, we've felt the benefits to that ourselves personally. And then we've seen it in so many others, you know, our clients and what have you. So it kind of grows, really.
Yeah.
I can't imagine ever. Can you imagine waking up one day and go, I've been thinking about this whole exercise thing and don't know if it's for me anymore.
No, I don't think so.
It's never going to happen.
No, I don't think so. But on that note, I wonder whether some people never get on board with it. And why I'm fascinated about those people and they don't really.
I am. Yeah, there's loads. I mean, there's loads of psychological models for it. So one of the modules I teach on the sports science degree was two psychology modules I teach. But we look at a lot of different models and we talk about them, we discuss them, but then we have to discuss their limitations. And they've all got limitations.
Yes, of course.
A lot of them you go, oh, wow, that's brilliant. Yeah, of course, that makes complete sense. And then you go, oh, but what about? That's the problem.
Yes.
It never explains everything. I think we're just too complex as humans, aren't we?
There isn't just one model. Answer, is there?
No.
And that's the good thing, really, because we're all different. So a different model might suit somebody else, you know. Because there are some people, aren't there, who are very overweight and who have done diets to death. You know, they've done every diet. And perhaps no exercise, I don't know. And they're still searching for whatever's going to suit them. That they're the people that worry me a bit. And is there anything out there that would start them off on that route, really? But
there would be some. So I would say it's something psychological behind that. And actually, when people hear that, actually, psychological, I don't think people like to hear that because
it frightens them, doesn't it?
Well, it sounds like we're suggesting that person's broken, but it's. But that's not what we mean at all. So by psychological, we mean it's like it's a cognitive thing. It's a thought process.
Right. Yes.
Rather than going, that diet is what's going to solve all my problems, it's actually figuring out, like, what's the barriers, really? What are the barriers to you even following that diet and that diet and that diet and that diet? Because there's going to be some consistent barriers.
Yeah.
Hmm. I think with... one of the great things of being like a strength and conditioning coach is it's actually quite simple in the process because you take like a tennis player and you go, right, for a tennis player, you need to be able to sprint short distances very, very quickly. You need to be able to change direction. Jump height would be quite helpful. You need to have good cardiovascular endurance. So you figure out what are the parameters of sort of playing tennis really well.
Yeah.
Then you design a list of tests that are going to assess their capabilities in all those individual areas.
Right.
You assess them, you work out where they need to be, where they are now in relation to where they need to be, and you go, right, what's the priority there? What's got the biggest percentage difference between where you should be and where you are now? So that's quite easy when you're training somebody. Now, you could take that approach to living life, but can you imagine how long the list of tests or assessments or metrics you'd use to manage to measure how well someone's like achieving life or but it'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it, to be able to do it?
It would be nice to have those answers.
It would,
a way of finding out,
I don't know what there'd be. So if you started to write those down, though, right, first of all, are you exercising? And if so, what are you doing? You know, that'd be that one thing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Then you'd have the sleep. Then you'd have relationships.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else that would sort of contribute towards, I guess,
having a good life?
Good life is largely about your mental health, I think, isn't it? So what other sort of components do you think contribute to that?
Oh, now you've stumped me.
Well, you mentioned something earlier. You said something about connecting.
I do think that's really important. I mean, we're on this earth with people, and I think that's really vital that we talk to people. Even, you know, when you talk to older people, they say, I don't see anyone in the day, but if I go to shopping or something and the checkout person says hello, I feel great. And it's just that.
Mm.
And I always say to people, it doesn't matter who you see in life. If you've made a connection, if someone smiles at you, someone says hello, that's, I can't really explain it, but that just gives you that little bit of a buzz.
Mm, it does.
And makes you feel, yes, I am with other people and I'm part of this world.
Mm.
And I think that's vital for loneliness, you know, in old age, or in any age, really, that we have that connection with people. I don't know if that's answered your question.
No, that absolutely does. Yeah. Now, in the next half of this episode, Kathy and I discuss green spaces and how we both benefit mentally and physically from being outdoors in nature. Unfortunately, we missed about 30 seconds of that conversation because we had a slight technical hitch. So the second half of the episode carries on from where we left off. And also, if you are watching this, unfortunately, we lost the video for it as well. So you're going to just have to listen to the audio. So hopefully you can still enjoy it. Apologies again. I will iron out all these technical hitches. We're up to episode 28 now. So I reckon by about episode 29, 30, I'll be a pro with all this stuff. So I'm not making any promises though. So we were talking about the outdoors, weren't
we?
Yes,
we were.
And vitamin D and green spaces. So I just kind of wanted to, I'm very interested to hear you sort of describe what you feel and experience when you're out in nature.
Yeah. Okay, it's quite difficult to quantify, but I think walking, I can use my brain still to think. So I often solve problems that I've got in life by walking and thinking things through. When by the time I get back home, I've thought, oh, yes, I could do it that way, or that way isn't too bad, or I'm feeling better about it anyway.
Mm.
So that really helps. I connect with other people. I see the world because I'm looking rather than driving and hurriedly getting somewhere. I'm looking around, and so I see the beauty of life. I mean, when you really look at nature, leaves, flowers, there's hundreds of them, different shapes and sizes. And why wouldn't you find that wonderful? I just find it awe-inspiring, really.
Yeah.
And that lifts me up and makes me think, right, I'm just one small part of this world. And I need to, you know, embrace the rest of it, really, and look at it. I think fresh air in your body is helpful. You can be doing breathing and breathing in the fresh air, concentrating on where you're going. There's so many skills involved with being outside. I'm just trying to think of another one, really.
Mm. No, that resonated with all of that. Like, look, literally everything you just said then, I was like, yep, totally experienced that myself.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
And I hug a tree. If I can find a tree that's huggable, I hug a tree. And I don't know why, but it makes me feel fantastic.
Yeah, I bet there is. I bet there is, like, you know, because often we sometimes things we don't explain, we might say, oh, it's a spiritual thing or whatever. But I think sometimes it, you know, it's spiritual stuff might answer some of the stuff that science hasn't found out yet or hadn't figured out. But I would imagine there is something in that that's very real and not just an idea or whatever. But it's real to you, obviously. It's real to the person doing it.
Well, there's a program years ago, I can't remember who did it, but and they showed the connection between trees that's all under the earth and the roots and so on. I think it was an actress who did it. And literally, you know, that spirituality that you're talking about was coming through there very much so.
Yeah, in their way, they do have conversations, don't they?
Yes.
And and they're linked to the fungi as well.
Yeah, right.
And they have like a partnership going on.
Yes.
I experience all of that. We watched a while back Limitless on Disney Plus, and it's got this actor, Chris Hemsworth, who every episode he's doing some different challenge, and then they get the scientists in to explain it. But one of the episodes they had, which I loved, I was absorbed in, where he got dropped in the wilderness with his friend, and they took their phones and they said, you just got to get from A to B, wherever it was, and you've got to use your own sort of skills to navigate. Anyway, they went through the science and they basically said that the hypothalamus, when we're constantly staring at our phones and we're not using our peripherals as well, looking at horizons, landscapes from afar, when we're just constantly surrounded in concrete and everything else, the hypothalamus actually gets smaller. And that when we get away from our phones and we look and we look at the greenery, we look at the trees, we look at the different colours, and our hypothalamus grows. And there's a link between that and reducing your risk of dementia and what
true.
have you.
Yes.
So I think sometimes when we're doing things and it just feels good and we're like, we don't really even know how to describe why or how, but it just feels good. It just feels right. I wonder if it's like the body's already, without the science, has figured all that out for you.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But I think when you're thinking, you're learning as well. And I think that helps with the brain. And I like art. I do an art course at the moment. And when I'm out, I can see things, colours, and just I think, oh, that's a good, that might be an idea to paint that or to use that in my art.
Yeah.
So it expands your mind as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so too. So like we said, it just ticks so many boxes. Getting out and walking, apart from all the vitamin D benefits and
oh, yes,
what it
definitely.
does for you.
Well, walking, isn't it? Cardiovascular. That's the right, how it
Yeah,
has been.
yeah.
And weight bearing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
well.
it's really good for me because of osteoporosis. So every time you are walking, striking the ground with your foot, you're improving your bones.
Yeah.
And it's probably got loads of other benefits. Obviously, it's building your muscle as well, isn't it? Because of all the movement.
Yeah, and because where we live, we walk over the downs and
That's
whatever,
right.
you've got uneven surfaces.
Yes, that's good for
So you
balance,
also
isn't it?
definitely,
Yeah.
where can you balance your proprioception? So like your
Yes.
awareness of your body in space and then
Yes.
controlling, etc. So you're less likely to fall over.
Yeah.
If you do fall over, because you've got denser bones from all the walking, the
Yeah.
weight-bearing exercise, less likely to fracture a hip and that sort of
Exactly.
thing. So
Yes.
like we said, we'll say it again, it ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't
It
it?
does.
Walking.
Yeah. And it's free. And you can decide when you want to do it.
Yep, it is free, you're right. Yeah, I love that fact that it doesn't matter what happens to you financially, you've still got access to
Yes.
all of this. It's
Yeah,
free.
definitely.
Just sort of to finish, actually, because I know we've both got a golf, haven't we?
Yes.
but I just wondered, so with your work as a counsellor,
Yeah.
does that ever come up, the exercise thing? Is that something that
Yes. Yes,
you've
it does,
yeah, it does.
definitely.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So people come to me for all sorts of reasons, but that's just the first reason. And once you start to get to know them, lots of other things come out in their lives that they weren't even aware may be not helpful to them. So because I believe in this holistic view of people, that's often what I'm saying. Let's look, I use a pie chart sometimes to say, okay, how much of your life is work? How much of your life is socializing? How much of your life is walking or exercise? How much of your life is, and they make this pie chart, and that is such a good visual for them to see that a lot of the time work is half of it and the rest is all squeezed into the rest of it, and some things aren't even on there. And so then they think, oh gosh, that's, I didn't realize that. And I say, do you realize that, having a well-balanced life is the way to happiness, really, and to feeling contentment and happiness. And it doesn't mean you're settling for something and you're not growing or developing, but you just feel content. You haven't got that uneasy feeling in you. You feel happy,
Yeah.
contented, and you're then more prepared to develop another side to you or learn or grow. So that's what I find. And
Yeah, definitely. And it does link with the resilience, because I know we talked about resilience
yeah,
anyway, like if
definitely.
you know, making yourself go outside or making yourself go to the gym, doing all that stuff,
Yeah.
you get that self-efficacy, don't you, where you think, oh wow, you know, like I've managed to accomplish that.
Yes.
That's probably going to spill into other areas of my
Yeah.
life.
Yeah.
But I also wonder, like you mentioned, that when you go walking, you find you come up with these ideas and
Yes,
sometimes you
definitely.
solve things.
Yes, yeah.
And it's almost like the movement or the fresh air or maybe being away from the distractions and the noise allows you
Maybe.
to think a bit
Yeah.
clearer.
Maybe. And you see something and you think, oh. I mean, you don't even sometimes do that consciously. It just
No.
happens subconsciously that you it links to something you're thinking about or trying to solve.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good. And I often say to my clients, we know, research shows that doing some exercise helps the body, the mind, the mental health. And often people don't realize it, which surprises me, but they just don't realize it. But if you then
No.
start talking about it, they'll say, oh, okay, so I might try. Or the usual is, I used to run, I used to walk, I used to exercise. And I say, well, so what's happened to stop that? And okay, we're all busy with work, we're all trying to earn enough, aren't we? Because it's quite hard work at the moment, money-wise. But if you can just put a little bit in each day that you weren't doing before and see the benefits, then it really helps.
Yeah, definitely. I think for a lot of people, it can seem quite overwhelming or intimidating because they might have an unrealistic role model, or I don't want to say role model, actually, maybe like example of what they should be doing. Because it might be their friend Jenny, goes to the gym every morning for
That's
2 hours.
exactly.
She also does a class in the afternoon, and they're thinking that's what I need to be doing. And actually, I mean, if you look at the government recommendations, the 150 minutes of moderate exercise, it's walking 30 minutes 5 times a week. So if you, most people don't have work on their doorstep. So
No,
if they
exactly.
parked 15 minutes from work, they could walk to work briskly, walk back to their car 5 days a week. That's huge.
So it's not even as if they've got to walk from home. They can drive certain place to a certain place and then walk. And I think that's what you're saying is really correct, because it's the manageable amount. People see the gym, oh God, I've got to go for hours on end, and you don't have to.
No.
And certainly with walking, you don't have to. You can do it as much as you like.
Yeah.
Start off small, short distances, and then once you start getting into it, you can add more to it and more time to it. Find different places to go. That's the ideal thing about
Yeah.
walking. You don't have to do the same walk every day.
No, go and explore. And it's like just start. So never mind even the government recommendations, like never
Exactly.
mind the
No,
government
no,
recommendations,
no.
just what can you get right now? Oh, well, realistically, even the idea of walking 15 minutes to work isn't great at the moment. Well, could you walk 5 minutes? Could you park 5 minutes from work or whatever it may be? Just get something and get started. Then once you achieve those things, the self-efficacy grows and goes, wow, I'm actually doing this. I'm getting somewhere. Maybe I'll go to 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes and build from there.
Or even at home, if you've got an island in your kitchen or something and you like music, put your music on and dance around the island for 5 minutes and then add to that. You don't, I mean, I do think going outside is really good, but you don't have to.
No, I often do that, Kathy. You've obviously seen me, haven't you? As you've walked
I've been
past,
watching.
you've
I
seen.
mean, and with nature, you just have to have one plant pot with a plant in it that you help grow, and that gives you such a buzz.
It does, that again, there's something there, isn't there, with that. We've got plants around the house, although I must admit I'm not very good looking after them. I often forget to water them, but
I often give clients a bulb or something and say, right, watch that grow as you grow as well with your work with me,
that's nice.
and it really helps them.
Yeah, that's really nice. There's stuff to do with having pets as well, isn't there? I
Yeah,
think also
definitely. Oh,
the
yes.
contact, the
Yes.
oxytocin,
Yeah.
the making a fuss of them.
Yes.
Definitely makes people feel good. Gives you a
Well,
purpose as well,
stroking
doesn't
an
it?
animal definitely brings the heart rate down.
Right. Well, very nice. Depends on the animal, I suppose.
Yes, definitely.
A bear,
Do you have
grizzly
any
bear.
animals? No.
No,
No.
well, we look after everybody else's all the
Oh,
time,
okay.
so we probably will be getting one. We did
Right.
actually say to the kids that once me and mummy got married, we would then look at
All
the
right.
dog thing.
Yeah.
And we've got married now, and the kids are asking, but we love them. We look after other people's dogs all the
Yeah.
time, and we do love them,
But you
but
don't have the tie if you're just looking after other
I
people's
know
dogs.
that's it. And that's the only thing we worry about is we don't want to, because I don't want to feel guilty that I
No,
haven't
no.
been at home with the dog. And you need to be around quite a lot, don't you?
And you can't really walk your dog over the downs to college, can you? Or to wherever you're going to,
I
you
could
think.
walk it to the college, but then I have to
But you
walk
couldn't
itself
have it
back.
there. Yes, you can't have it there, can you?
No.
No.
Although, I wonder if I could. You give me an idea
Well,
there,
they
Kathy.
do
I wonder.
therapy
Well, they
pets, don't
do,
they? I
don't
used to
they?
take one of my dogs to care homes and schools.
Oh, that. Do you know
And
what?
that
That'd
was
be
great.
amazing. I could actually just have it in the classroom, just train it to sit in the classroom, and
If you've got the right sort of breed and type of dog, yeah.
yeah. Well, that's a lovely note to finish on,
Yes, and
Kathy.
that would be handy. You say Sunday lunch at the pub and your dog just sits there on a rug.
Yeah. What a great idea. Well, thank you,
Oh,
Kathy.
thank you.
It sounds like a cheeky thing to say, but I'd love to get you on again because
No, that's fine.
we spoke sort of briefly. It felt like briefly. That just flew by.
Yeah,
And
that'd be good.
yeah, it was a good
Thanks.
chat. Really
Yeah, I
enjoyed
enjoyed it.
that.
I did too. Yes,
All right,
thank
well,
you.
enjoy your stay, and I'm sure I'll
Thanks.
Bump into you again soon.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, something you can do for me is subscribe to my show. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in this content, then please share it with them too. You can also head over to our socials and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. But if you're ready to take that next step, visit our website, www.stormfitnessacademy.co.uk, fill out a contact form that will come straight to me. I will contact you shortly afterwards, and I look forward to speaking to you then.